Hey, good evening. Our devotion comes from Psalm 128. Psalm 128, the Song of Degrees. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would impress these words onto our hearts. Help us, Lord, to understand them. Help us, Lord, also to see how they apply to us in the new covenant. We are so thankful unto you, O Lord, for your blessings. We pray that you bless your word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the psalm speaks about the happiness that all of us ought to feel. Now, sometimes we have this idea, Christianity, it's such a killjoy. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. There's so many things that are restricted. We have to be straight-laced. And we don't experience the joy of Christ. We don't experience the joy that Christ intends for us to enjoy in life. Well, sure, the Bible has a distinction. The joys in this life compared to the joys in that life. But does it mean that there are no joys in this life? And this psalm makes it very clear that there are real blessings and joys that all Christians, and especially Christians, ought to enjoy. So, you know, it is not wrong to say that the happiest of people in life ought to be Christians. Isn't that right? We have a Savior. We have blessings in this life. He takes care of our every need, and we're heading to a better life. Now, that ought to raise some questions. Are we happy? It's not a bad word, you know, happy. After all, right, Jesus said, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, are the merciful. You know, we are of all people to be happy. And even in poverty, we have contentment. Well, that's happiness. Even in sickness, we have endurance. Well, that's happiness. Even in sorrow, we have joy. Right? In weakness, we have strength. Now, so this psalm really tells us the blessings that belong to the Christian. And it tells us that these blessings are far more substantial than what unbelievers will ever experience. Do they experience joy? Sure. But who ought to experience greater joy? The Christian, right? Now, even John Newton, right, in his hymn, you know, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, you know, the last stanza, fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys, not anyhow joys, but solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. Now, you know, what are these blessings? Well, these are the things that we want to talk about today. 2 points from the psalm, the prerequisite to true happiness in life, and the areas of life that we can experience true happiness in life, right? So, firstly, the prerequisites to true happiness in life. Now, You know, I will kind of give you a glimpse into what we see in the second point. And we see there are basically three areas that we ought to have great joy in. Verses 2 and 3 and 5 and 6, they talk about these three areas of life. All right, verses 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. In other words, you will be happy in which sphere of life? Work. You will reap, right, what you put into your work. You will enjoy it. The Christian will enjoy work. Then verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. So which other area? Family. Family life, your relationships, you will be happy. Then verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Now, in other words, you will be happy in your worship. You will be happy in church. You will be happy among the people of God. All right, so these three areas. But, you know, I kind of jumped ahead, but if you want these blessings, what are the prerequisites? Now we see that flanking these verses 2 and 3, 5 and 6 are verses 1 and 4. And we see the two prerequisites, actually it's just one. Verse 1 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And verse 4, again, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So in other words, you can't have this happiness. This happiness is not yours if you don't fear the Lord, if you don't walk in his ways. So the prerequisite is fear. And, you know, even 1 Peter 1:17 tells us, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Right? When we fear the Lord, we will experience happiness. The Bible is always reminding us to fear the Lord. Now, how do we do that? How do we fear the Lord? What does it mean practically? And here in verse 1, you see a parallelism. It's explained to us. A parallelism is the Hebrew device in poetry. You say one line, and you say it again in a different way. So, it says in one line, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Then secondly, that walketh in his ways. So how do you fear the Lord? You walk in his ways. To fear the Lord means to obey, to listen, to, you know, it's not merely to obey the Ten Commandments, it's to obey the call to the gospel, to believe in Jesus, to surrender everything to him, your life, you know, yourself, your desires. You know, Jesus said, of course, no man can come after me unless he does what? Take up his cross daily. And follow me, right? So, you know, to fear the Lord is to walk in his ways. So when we know who God is, when we understand his greatness, his majesty, we walk according to that. You know, whatever we do, we will do circumspectly. When you speak, you will speak circumspectly. When you act, you will act circumspectly, right? You will walk in all of his ways. We fear God above all things, right? And it's not just, you know, good behavior. That's not what the Bible says. You can have very good behavior, but you can have a very wicked heart. To fear God is even to think purely, to eschew evil, to say nothing in my life, in my thought life, in my speech, even the way I act will contradict God's word. I will walk with fear. Now, what is the result of having this fear? And we all know, right? Result of fear is wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you have this fear, this reverence, this obedience, you will have wisdom. What is interesting is to have biblical wisdom is not necessarily to know more. right? To have biblical wisdom, it is to act according to what you already know. The wisdom of the world is, if I want to be wiser, I have to study more. Biblical wisdom is, if you want to be wiser, you have to obey. All right? Now, we see in Job 1, an example of that. And he was blessed in his life, in all areas of his life, in his work, in his family, right, in his worship. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He walked in all his ways. So, if you want happiness and blessings, fear God. Alright, so that's the prerequisite to having true happiness is fear, to fear God. Now, the areas of life we can experience true happiness, and we've already seen a preview of these three in verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. In other words, a person who fears God will benefit from his work. Work will be a blessing. In his work, he will find contentment. You know, what you put into your work, you will reap the benefit. You will reap the results, and when the results come, you will be happy. You know, imagine planting something. And I have a black thumb. Whatever I plant doesn't grow, but imagine, right? You plant something and you reap wonderful fruit. You've put in that labor and you receive this. When we work as believers, if we fear the Lord, if there's good conscience, if there's integrity, if you're working hard, you're praying, you will reap the benefit. Now, that is a general principle. And work is important. No one should be without gainful employment. You know, in the Thessalonian church, because they were all, you know, thinking about Christ's second coming, many of them had stopped working. They said, oh, let's wait for the Lord. Well, if they stopped working, they had no money to buy food, and so they were, you know, eating other people's food. And Paul had to say, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you'll become a busybody. So it is a tremendous blessing to eat the fruit of one's labor, not the fruit of other people's labor. I can go on and talk about libertarianism and, you know, social policy and government and welfare system, but I won't, right? Then, you know, this is a general principle. Those who fear God, who are holy, who have integrity, their work will be superior and there will be results. Now, of course, there are many exceptions, and we see that in the Bible as well. Joseph worked very hard for Mr. Potiphar. What happened to him? Well, Mrs. Potiphar came along, right? You know, there's also the example of Daniel. He worked very hard. But, of course, you know, going back to Joseph, Potiphar knew, and he was sore. Daniel worked very hard, and, you know, his colleagues got really jealous. And they, you know, they told the king, you have to have this law. If you don't have this law... you know, and Daniel did not obey this law, and so the king was very sore also. You know, people may betray, but in each of these cases, what we see is there was vindication. It isn't always that way, but this is a general principle. If you fear God, you will enjoy your work. You will be rewarded. You will be in good standing with those that you work with. All right? Now, second, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children, like olive plants round about thy table. In other words, a person who fears God will have a happy home life, a happy family life. You could, you know, extrapolate from there and talk about you will have happy relationships. Now, the picture, of course, that's painted for us is that of a family. Right? It's a simple pleasure of family life. In the end, it's not that you have this much or this or that, but a man is content when he has a good family life, right? Now, Franz Schubert, composer, he said, happy is the man who finds a true friend, and far happier is he who finds that true friend in his wife. And this, you know, if you extrapolate, a natural application or consequence of this verse, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants. This man finds his wife so attractive. He loves his wife so much that he has many children with her, right? So it in that one sense, it speaks about delighting in the relationship, delighting in one's spouse. It's not that you merely have a spouse. You know, anyone can have a spouse, right? And people can have spouses and can be absolutely miserable. And people who may not have spouses may be absolutely happy, right? But when a man fears God, and if he does happen to be married, or if a woman fears God and she happens to be married, the husband takes great delight in the wife takes great delight in the husband. Why? Because both fear the Lord. It's utterly horrible to be married to a difficult woman, and it's, of course, utterly horrendous to be married to a useless man, right? But here, the picture is of a man who finds the wife greatly attractive and vice versa. You know, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and he takes delight in his family. And of course, this can be extended to relationships in general. If we fear the Lord, we will have happy, cordial relationships. Right? Well, obviously, right? You know, the Bible says that even your enemies will be at peace with you. All right. Someone once said, remember no man is a failure who has friends. Actually, I remember who said that. Did I write that down? Any of you watch It's a Wonderful Life before? All right. Old Christmas movie. Anyway, but that's a quote from there. Now, the last sphere of life or area of life that we ought to have true happiness. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Now, of course, this is code for the place where God's people worship, where they gather to worship. In the Old Testament, it was at Zion, at Jerusalem. You know, for us, it's with the people of God. You will be happy, right, in church. You'll be happy with the saints. You know, you have a profound understanding that true blessings come to those who fear God, who worship God, who are upright in life. So imagine if you will, you have a tough time at work. You don't get along with anyone. You play a lot of politics. You don't enjoy what you do. Work is a tough place for you. Or you have a difficult family life. You are a difficult spouse, or you have a difficult spouse. You struggle with your children. You struggle with your siblings. You have tumultuous relationships. And you struggle with people at church all the time. What does that mean? Remember the sandwich? Where's the fear of the Lord? Now, these are general principles, right? But when a man fears the Lord, when a man walks in his ways, these three areas of life, it doesn't mean that it will be perfect, but there will be great happiness. So are you fearing God and walking in his ways? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and a reminder to us that fear, reverence, obedience to the gospel, embracing the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way to happiness in this life, in these areas of life. We pray, Father, that you would show us where it is that we may lack, that we may pursue after you, to know that in you are all blessings. So we commit ourselves into your care. In Jesus' name we pray.